The following movie may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Apparently, I don't need to know, so fuck you, I'm going to Hollywood.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Donnie, Brian, Robert, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. It is 4 a.m., and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see if they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your host, as always, Hunter Steelheart. Joined with me today is...
Brian.
Garbage CGI against a garbage green screen.
Joel Pliskin.
All right. So yeah, let's plan your escape this summer, because Snake is back. In Escape from L.A. from 1996. That's the taglines I had for this. They sucked.
Heads up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a shame, because this is brought to us by John Carpenter, who we've now come to know quite well on this podcast, for doing things like Halloween, Escape from New York, They Live, Big Trouble in Little China, The Thing, Ghosts of Mars, and so on. So
I think, like, this is a sequel. How many sequels has he done?
This is the only one.
See?
Yes.
See?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, most of his movies come to very definitive ends. Other than, like, Big Trouble in Little China, usually it's like, well, everyone's fucked, so...
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Aside from the fact that everyone's talking about Snake Plissken as some big thing, there's really little to no actual ties to the first movie. Like, it has nothing to do with the first movie. So it might as well not even be a sequel. Like, it could just be,
yes.
Here's a guy with a storied past.
I think that's kind of the intent with this. It's supposed to be a sequel, but stand on its own. It also, funnily enough, following Evil Dead 2 is a sequel that's retreads a lot of the same areas as the first one, where, once again, they send him into a prison state, infected with some things, so he has to do whatever they send him in for, and so on, and, you know.
Is this what Jenny McCarthy based her... Never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
I don't even know where you're going with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So what's your history with this movie, Brian?
I've never seen this movie, actually. I thought I had, but I was thinking of Escape from New York. So I've seen, like, scenes from this movie in, like, on Facebook, you know, clips of whatever, like us seeing in particular, but yeah, I never actually saw this movie, so it's the first time for me.
Okay. Rob?
I've seen ads for this movie in my comic books, and that's as far as it went.
Okay. Joe?
So remember how when we first started doing some John Carpenter movies, I was like, I used to not like John Carpenter, and I was an idiot. I used to not like John Carpenter because of this movie.
You are not an idiot, Joe. John Carpenter, honestly, his track record is...
In the 80s, he was really... He had a solid period where he was on top of
Yeah, but like once 1990 hit...
It's yeah, just he's done to him. Yeah. And that's really what I had seen. Like this, Ghost of Mars, Vampires.
Yeah, that's not...
Yeah.
Not what you want.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he certainly has a style he's going for. I think it's just very hit or miss.
What was the style of this? Because it just looked like a ripoff of Batman or Robin.
It kind of was meant to be, but we'll get into that.
It was a retread of the first one, just with everything shittier.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I had seen this movie once or twice. I generally skip this one because I like New York better. But I like John Carpenter.
I mean, in New York, you fight in a boxing ring, you know, against gladiators. Like, how stupid is that? This one, you get to play basketball.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, for a brief history of this movie, the basketball and scene in particular, since you brought it up, that was all really Russell Crowe. Or not Russell Crowe. Kurt Russell.
They brought him in to just do the basketball.
Yeah. They stuck a big wig on him and sent him. No, that was all Kurt Russell. That he actually shot all those shots. He trained for a long time to do it.
Well, how many takes was that?
A lot. I remember seeing something about this because he got really good at basketball because he was practicing pretty much like nonstop when he wasn't doing something else on the film. Then they put the eye patch on him and he was like, fuck.
Yep. Well, you know what though? Then let's just be glad that out of all this, at least he learned a skill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, might be where this movie gets into some trouble. It was originally started to be developed in 1987, shortly after the first one, and then went for like 10 years of development hell before it actually got produced.
some of the visual effects were from 87 era.
Yeah. The visual effects, where do I have
non-existent.
So they existed in infamy.
Well, they were
the last Starfighter.
Buena Vista Visual Effects, and this was their first ever project.
That sounds like Disney.
Well, it's Disney now. I believe they were their own thing back then.
Which is why it looks like Who Framed Roger Rabbit so much of the time. Now, what exactly is development hell? Are you calling it hell just because somebody read the script and was like, no, you're not doing this?
There's a part of that. Well, John Carpenter had an idea for the sequel, but he didn't know quite what to do with it. So he was kind of batting ideas around for a long time and like pitched a few ideas. And nothing really worked out. Then after, I believe, the earthquakes in L.A., he kind of got inspired and wrote up some more stuff.
I've got an idea for a movie.
There were.
It's about this kid. Never mind. I'm really tired.
You going to finish one of your side tangents today?
It's about this guy who wished, and his wishing came true, and now this kid can fly.
That was a TV show.
That was a song.
Oh.
I'm quoting a song. Not very well. So please continue.
Oh, I'm so glad you interrupted me for that. All right. So the repeated references to Cleveland are an inside joke because the Snake Plissken was made after someone that John Carpenter actually knows that lives in Cleveland named Snake Plissken.
What?
Totally real.
I thought it was just because Cleveland sucks.
Cleveland rocks.
And the Cleveland show was based off of this movie because it's a huge disappointment.
Yes. Speaking of based on this movie, there were supposed to be two more sequels and a TV show to follow this.
How many cities are you going to escape from?
All of them?
Oh, well, it gets better. The next one was going to be Escape from Earth, and the one after that was going to be Escape from Mars, which I believe later got bastardized to become Ghost of Mars.
And then Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Perhaps. The original...
Like, finally, it's just going to be like, go back to New York.
Yeah.
Everything else sucks.
I think the last movie would be called Escape This Contract.
Which then got turned into We're Back, A Dinosaur Story.
Originally, the role of Utopia was going to go to Goldie Hawn. That was the idea. I never got that far.
Were they dating?
She was, back then? Yes. Yeah. And then
and way
when
too old.
She was busy doing other things or whatever and couldn't be part of it, Kate Hudson auditioned. And I think that's kind of where it became the daughter instead. But we got somebody else.
So what was it going to be if it was Goldie Hawn? His wife?
I would think. I don't know. But I feel safe in saying not the president's daughter.
Was that the chick from My So-Called Life?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, just fun note that a big portion of LA shortly after this movie was released had major blackouts. So after everyone saw the Sword of Damocles take the light out of everything in Los Angeles, they left the theater and all the lights were taken out of Los Angeles.
I think they just shut the lights off to have a moment of silence, to really just think about what happened.
Sure. All right, so...
Brian, are you enjoying my wife's fun noodle?
Leave that alone. Leave that alone. Leaving that alone.
Brian, will you bestow upon our podcast your black gift?
I'm leaving all that alone, too.
As I told your wife before, that is not for everyone.
Just me, I know. Just the members of this table.
I never asked for it, but so, I got it anyway.
Yeah, you begged for it.
Fucking Rob.
Anyone want to guess at the budget this movie had?
Oh, way too high.
Five.
Five what?
Just five. Just five.
Three.
Five high fives.
Texas with a dollar sign. No, I'll say this reeks of way too much money. I gotta say $100 million.
I wasn't gonna go that high. I was gonna say like $85 million.
Mm-hmm. So just going with five?
Just five.
I guess Rob wins.
Yes.
It was $50 million.
Okay, all right.
I was gonna give it to Joe with Texas with a dollar sign, but
you know Texas with a dollar sign is way more than $50 million.
Yeah. Does anyone wanna guess how much this movie made?
3.5.
I'm going to say $15 million.
25.
I don't even think this got a video game, did it?
They played it in the movie.
Maybe on like the Neo Geo or something like
Neo
that.
Neo Geo.
It's on that Jaguar.
Ooh. Game Boy Advance.
I guess technically I have to give it to Brian. It was $24 million.
Oh, son of a whore.
Just a little over, Joe. But good try.
Either way, it did not come anywhere near close to making its money back.
Oh, no.
What did Kurt Russell make on this movie? Like, what did he get paid? Did you find that out?
I did not find that out.
I wonder if like 25 of that was just for him.
Three and a half.
That's three.
Three, yeah. Well, three would be a combination of three and five.
Or three.
It's 3.5. Three.
Let's not argue about imaginary numbers here.
All right. Instead, let's get into that cast list. Who was in this movie?
Way too many people for a movie that sucks this much.
Yep.
Good people.
Yeah. All right. Returning to the podcast again, Kurt Russell, Snake Plissken. You got Steve Buscemi as Map to the Stars, Eddie.
Sure.
Peter Fonda as Pipeline. Cliff Robertson as the president. Valeria Jolino as Taz Lima. Might as well have not even been there.
Mm-hmm.
Stacy Keach as Commander Malloy. Pam Grier as Hershey Las Palmas, and Bruce Campbell returning for 2 weeks in a row as the Surgeon General of Beverly Hills. Also might as well have not been there.
Yeah,
yes.
A lot of pointless scenes in this movie.
This movie.
You can call it a game.
It's a PlayStation 2 game. It's more like a Bethesda game.
I'm sorry, PlayStation 1 game.
It's just a bunch of dirty people running around in the apocalypse. Just with bit parts and
one-liners. Yeah, but this shit wouldn't fly in a Fallout universe.
That's true. You get hit by that death claw real fast.
I mean, really, though? Kind of would. Kind of would. I mean, the storyline wouldn't, but, like, the setting?
The Bruce Campbell nonsense would.
Yeah, the Bruce Campbell nonsense would have. Except there would have been more to do. He would have at least given you a side quest.
He would have ate someone's face.
And ate someone's face.
That's true. He would have been like a ghoul.
The side quest would be like, go out and fetch me three faces.
I want to eat them. So, none of that did happen in this movie. We want to get into what did happen. Did anything happen in this movie?
No, not really. Not really.
No, I wrote down a lot of things. A lot of things did happen. Barely any of them had any consequence.
It just seems like we moved from set piece to set piece with nothing actually happening.
That's a lot of it.
Yeah. All right, so this bitch opens up, like, it's all this big dramatic story about, like, how the president of the country was, like, super Christian and, like, predicted somehow that L.A. would fall into an earthquake and be messed up. And so when it happened, he was like, it's because they're sinners and, like, amoral, and that's why it happened. And then so they elected him permanent president of the United States.
President forever.
Forever.
We're going to build a wall.
And then he built a wall, and he deported everyone who was not like him to within that wall.
Just for the sake of saying.
And put a dead cat on top of his head.
Actually no biblical basis whatsoever. Continue.
But yeah, so he made a permanent United States police force. So it was a federal police force that was in charge of capturing people and deporting them into this LA area.
So his own Gestapo.
Yeah. And then they outlawed.
This all sounds so familiar.
They outlawed swearing and red meat and
women, unless you're married.
Yeah.
Cigarettes.
Fornication, cigarettes.
Yeah.
Wait, red meat unless you're married?
No. I said women unless you're married.
Yeah. So
it's like Demolition Man, but not fun at all.
Yeah, at all. And so when we first see actual people, they're flying over this LA prison place, the deportation island.
Well, flying.
You see some bad CGI.
Yeah.
They
let you right away. This is what you're in for.
It's like, if you can't even find stock footage of a goddamn helicopter, don't put it in the shot.
Yeah.
I think
a model would have looked better than that.
We're going to get into this more as we go on, but like right away, I want to point out this is the big difference between practical effects and CGI, especially bad CGI. Last week, you could say what you want about how dumb some of that stuff looked, but like it still had like something to it.
It had a soul heart to it.
Yeah.
My problem was not with how it looks. My only problem with that movie was how often it was just punching me in the face.
That's kind of what's the point of the movie, though.
Yeah, I know. But, and I said, it's just not my style of movie. It's not a bad movie. It's just not my style.
Regardless, I'm just saying, like, the wonky, you know, Ted Raimi in a big foam suit just pouring sweat everywhere. The guy's face mutating into a weird monster.
We did get Bruce Campbell's face mutating into a monster this week, too. Yes. 2 weeks in a row.
And again, both cases, practical effects, and it worked well enough in both cases. But yeah, like the CGI here, like I would have preferred they just have a model.
Yeah, just a far shot of a model and maybe like a guy pushes like a Hot Wheels car across it or something would have looked better than this.
No, it's like John Carpenter and Roland Emmerich went halvesies on a like a model texture pack and they split it between this and Godzilla.
Fun fact, I forgot to point it out here, but at one point, I believe when Steve Buscemi is hanging onto the helicopter and you see the buildings below them, if you look closely, one of them does say miniature on it because they just totally did not bother to take that out.
All right.
Anyway, great.
Why did it have to say miniature
on it? In case someone got confused.
Like, was that a mistake or was that on purpose? Was John Carpenter?
Don't know, to
maybe
be honest.
Maybe by that point he stopped giving a fuck.
Yeah. It's like, just write miniature.
Well, that's, again, this whole thing is intentionally a satire on action movies and the state of our world. Sure. You could argue to what point. That's the fun of John Carpenter movies. You don't, unless you talk to him, you don't really know for sure.
Well, back in the day, they were effective at their satire. This is just like,
just a sad, obvious trope of every dumb action movie.
It was somewhat prophetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's not get into that. Right.
Somewhat.
I was glad to see, though, that Ensign Row from Star Trek The Next Generation got a job.
I know that right away, too. Yeah.
Before she was the Admiral in Galactica.
I thought she was a Romulan, everybody. I'm sorry. It was the eyebrows. Send her angry letters to the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
No one knew you thought that until you said it.
I know.
Only I knew that.
I feed off hatred.
Okay, all right. Send us your hate. All right. Good. Let the hate
you
flow.
Hate on me all you want because I had no idea.
But, you know, obviously wait until your mom allows computer time. We can sit in the kitchen and type out an email to me.
I just knew
it. I love all you listeners.
I just knew it from Battlestar Galactica. So
anyway.
I love some of you to varying degrees. The rest of you have to fight for it.
We get what constitutes a pseudo meatloaf, this guy that gets him out of the helicopter. I thought it was meatloaf for like a minute.
Watching this movie was like eating a pseudo meatloaf.
Like a fake meatloaf.
It's mostly spam and some old newspaper.
Let's talk real quick. Vegetarian problems.
Hashtag.
I go today on the way here to get a veggie burger from Duchess. What happens about 50% of the time I go to do it. Like I go up to the drive-thru. I'm like, have a veggie burger combo, please. The guy's just like, and like a minute of silence. And then someone else answers. It's like, oh, veggie burger combo. Okay.
Does it not have a number? You can't just give him a number.
It doesn't have a number.
Oh, man.
It's hidden on the menu.
It's barely on the menu. It's barely
they don't want you to know it's a possibility.
So they can't just press the big picture.
No, they don't even train
their
employees on it.
There's only one asshole a year orders it. It's Joe.
Half the time, you just get an empty bun, which is some...
I got to say, I don't know which one you went to, and let's not name names, but like... I've had no success with Duchess for a while now. I think they're just all on something, or I don't know. But
this episode not sponsored by
Duchess. No, it is not.
I love Duchess, though.
However, I got a Baconator today. Yeah, and it was
they had no problem
delicious.
Go, Wendy's, go.
It was...
The other funny one, though, is when you go to Subway, right, and you order the veggie patty, which they don't put on the menu.
Yep.
You just have to know it's there. And when you cook it in the microwave, that thing smells good. And, like, it fills the whole restaurant up with the smell. And people are like, what's that smell? That smells so good. And I'm like, well, that's the veggie patty. And they're like, oh.
Never mind.
It's done. Disappointment sets in.
My heart just screamed, I'll kill you if you put that
in. I was like, motherfucker, it tastes as good as it smells. Like, just eat the damn
thing.
meat.
I'll add bacon.
Fun fact for everyone that's thinking about going to Subway to get the veggie patty, be very specific that you want the veggie patties, because if you say a vegetarian sandwich, they will just give you a bun with lettuce on it.
Yes, they will.
Fuck them.
Come on, they'll put pickles.
Yeah, they'll throw all the condiments
on
top.
Yeah, they'll put whatever else you ask for, but you're just getting a half-hearted
dollop of each one of the sandwiches. Yeah.
Getting a half-hearted, like, handjob salad tossed onto a bun.
Is that enough bacon, or did you want more?
So, once again, you can tell by the timestamp we don't want to talk about this movie.
I cut a triangle in your bread. I'm a sandwich artist. Oh, no.
No, don't do that anymore.
Oh, you ruined my sandwich artist joke. I've known a few sandwich artists in my time. Shout out to all you.
Okay, then.
I'm raising my glass of water.
Okay.
So this movie sucks. There's nothing to talk about.
So Meatloaf gets him off the boat. Yeah. By boat, I mean helicopter.
Some random lady walks up to him and scratches his hand.
Yep.
And he's just like, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, well, so where even is he just like in the like new people orientation area? Is this LAX? Yes. Is this?
I think it is.
Deportation zone. More or less. Yeah, it's a deportation zone.
Okay.
It's effectively the border.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this lady cop They're comes inside by the wall. And just scratches him as she walks by, and you're like, what the?
It's like, I would kill you, but my pants are way too tight.
Yeah. Well, those are the same pants he wore 10, 15 years prior, or whatever, when they made the last movie, so.
Sitting in John Carpenter's closet.
Yeah, I'm not going to further discuss the status of Kurt Russell's ability to wear pants, but they worked a lot better 10 years ago.
So anyway, he's getting pulled into some interrogation room or whatever. He finds there's a little scanner on the table.
His head blows up.
Mm. Yep. Scanners.
Yeah, it's Michael End of movie.
Size. All right, so what did you guys think?
So long story short,
gets a pit boy.
Yeah, Stacey Keach is all like, yo, I don't have a mustache. And it's really weird looking at
him. He looks real weird on a mustache.
Well, he's got that hair lip. So it's like, you need that mustache, man. Come on.
Whatever. Stacey Keach is awesome.
When he has a mustache. Now he just looked like Robert Zadar.
He did a little
like
bit.
Like a discount Robert Zadar.
Robert Zadar.
So.
He like took him and what's his name from Anaconda, put them together.
That's oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Holy crap, you got.
Now, my face, that would be baking with that chin. It would be like literally. Literally like the troll face.
Yeah, if Stacey Keach got stung by like 1,000 bees in his chin, then he'd be Robert Zadar.
I ate a shrimp and I think I'm allergic. So Stacey Keach is like, yo, here's Uncle Ben from the Spider-Man movie that's not out yet. He's the president or whatever. His daughter's missing and she's got a suitcase for some reason. She made this viral video. She hates your ass. And she's going to blow everybody up. Okay. You got to go get her.
Already we have a million problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She stole this lunchbox from this top secret base. Mm-hmm. They have her on camera taking it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How the fuck did no one notice that she's walking out with that? It's not like she had anywhere.
She's a precocious young girl, Joe.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She's the president's daughter as well. She can do whatever she wants.
I mean, in all fairness, course, they were at the resort in Fort. Never mind. Let me stop.
Yeah.
Let me stop.
In all of these fucking movies, there's always this like super weapon thing that only has one remote control and no fail safes.
Right. Obviously, there's no manual override.
Yeah.
Why would you need that?
Nope. There's no way to just be like, we don't have the remote for this anymore. Shut it off.
The guy who set it up said something about a kill switch, but that sounded violent, so I said no thanks.
I don't like killing.
Also, we somehow gave the password away, too.
Right.
Just because.
666. Yeah.
The president's daughter.
All right. So she hijacks an entire plane.
Yep.
Yeah. Air Force Three.
Yep.
Once again, Kurt Russell has to stop some people.
Yeah, that aren't there.
She bails out and she jumps out in over LA, and then plane crashes or something like that. I don't know.
But somehow we got 3D scans of the whole thing for some reason.
Yeah, it was an odd touch.
Yeah,
there's this. They have the ability to like put you in like a holodeck kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was weird.
I guess just to show technology has advanced.
Sure. And she's given this, like, black box mystery thing, to Che Guevara. Like, they say he's Cuervo Jones, but he's Che Guevara. Like,
what? No.
It's, what? It's Jose no. Cuervo.
It is Jose Cuervo. Yeah.
But oh, we should say this is set in the year 2013.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, like, they had weird thoughts about what our future was going to be like when they made this movie.
Mm-hmm. They sure did. Well, it's not far off. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, they're like, we really want you to do this because you're the best of the best and blah, blah, blah. And we can only trust you. And he's like, yeah, go fuck yourself. And they're like, all right, well, then we've poisoned you and you're going to do it or you'll die. How's that sound?
Like, legit. They say, hey, we need you to go in there and find her and get us that briefcase back. If you do that, you'll be pardoned for all your sins. And he's like, I don't give a fuck about that. And like, well, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, in that case.
I kind of give a fuck about that. Yeah.
In that case.
Well, now I guess I have to do it, even though I'll be weakened while trying to do it.
They give him an 8-hour countdown.
Yeah.
You got like, 8 hours. What the hell is that? To go into this hellish place that we created from our lack of wanting to help motherfuckers.
All right. It's the second biggest metropolitan area in the country. Mm-hmm. Also, we don't know where this thing is in there. Mm-hmm. Who has it? Anything. Well, just 8 hours. Go.
We suspect that the biggest, baddest guy in there, in the center of it all, who's surrounded by an army, might have it. Oh, yeah. And then you need to get out with it from L.A., which we have already established is basically a giant prison that no one has ever escaped from before. You have 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Make it do.
Oh, yeah. I'm after 4 hours, so you're still getting a headache so bad you can barely think.
Yeah. So really have 4 hours. Yep. And it's going to take 2 hours for the orientation.
Okay. And another plot hole, though, I don't get. Like, why doesn't the president just blow up the whole island? Because he clearly wants everybody here.
He said he wanted to.
It's like you now have a legit reason to destroy the entire island. Like, and I know they were saying like they'll hear the aircraft coming. It's like,
what does not that really mean? Yeah. How can they stop it though?
Yeah, and then like you know, you could just fire a missile. Like,
you can hear it coming, sure.
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter if you hear the A-bomb being dropped on you. Probably not getting that far away from it.
You're not even going to. It's going faster than the speed of sound. Wow. By the time it goes off, you're...
Yeah, you've already been hit.
Yeah.
Point is, that would have solved everything. It wouldn't have a movie, so that didn't happen.
I mean, look. We're okay with deporting the people. We don't want to outright kill them. They kill themselves, it's different. But we don't want to outright kill them. Just send them away.
That's just nature. Mm-hmm. Instead, we send Snake to go pick from Blade and Underworld Girl's closet, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, it's not my fault that we send them to a place where the ground's made of razor blades, all covered with AIDS, and we took the shoes away. Not my fault.
Yeah.
Not my fault.
I tell him to walk.
Yeah.
So they give him his Pip-Boy and send him on his way.
It is a Pip-Boy, for real.
He's got a little hologram maker. He's got some matches.
He gets this whole little, like, James Bond setup scenario.
Yeah. He's got his oral dart.
They make him change his pants. Yeah.
I mean, it's 1996, so, I mean, he does have to get the black trench coat.
Of course, it's required. They fill his first clip on his gun with blanks because they suspected he was going to try and kill them with it. And granted, he does try that, but what if he didn't?
Yeah, what if he didn't? Yeah, he just gets in a gunfight.
Yeah, he's in a firefight. He's just firing blanks at people.
So you only have 8 hours.
They probably would have said, he only had 4 hours to get this done anyway. It probably wasn't going to happen. Yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah. They're like, I saw the first one. He loses that gun right away anyway. So.
That's true. He does have his special guns.
Or maybe this is like a whole scenario like Joker in The Dark Knight where they like, while he was out at one point, they put a bomb in his chest and they're just waiting for him to get far enough in.
Maybe.
So he does indeed just try to shoot the commander and Ensign Rowe and blanks.
Yeah, it's blanks, so it does nothing. I don't even know why it was blanks, because that doesn't even make a whole lot of sense, because earlier he tried to kill them and they were holograms, so why not just do that again? And
they had to actually give them stuff.
Yeah, and they're all like, all right, just for that little act, all right, we were going to give you a cool submarine. Now we're going to give you a crappy cartoon one.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to put you in a cardboard box and you have to imagine there's a submarine around you.
It's this jet-powered submarine.
You put him in a torpedo.
It's a nuclear-powered?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One man submarine.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this thing. So
So, yeah, we go through a building. I like how they're like, you know, you're redlining the reactor, and it's like you're losing control of the submarine. And the submarine's like, you can't steer anymore. He's like, whatever. Just crashes through a building.
Yeah.
Crashes through a shark.
Oh, that shark. Oh, that shark.
Are we to believe that was Jaws?
I don't.
Maybe. Who knows?
Because he gets attacked by a shark and then quickly passes the Universal logo building, whatever it was.
Did they make this movie? Universal? Like, were they?
No, this was Paramount, wasn't it?
I believe so.
So essentially, they were just showing us that they jumped the shark within the first 20 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, literally, they did.
Ugh. They were like, fuck Universal, they're underwater.
But apparently they got the licensing for that. They obviously couldn't get it for Disney, as we'll find out later.
As soon as he, gets out of the water with this thing, he immediately loses it to some bad special effects.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like this thing falls in the water, and he's clearly not there. Like, it's not even close to convincing you that he's in any kind of peril.
No.
Well, that's not as... That's yeah.
They couldn't have even just made a hollow metal tube of a submarine and kicked that off a cliff.
No. Look, okay, so remember in Aliens when Bishop is going through that tube?
Yeah.
And you feel claustrophobic as hell because he's in that damn tube? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is not that.
Now we meet pointless character number one.
Surfer guy?
Some surfer guy.
Yeah. Freaking... What's his name? Fonda.
Peter Fonda.
Peter Fonda.
Yeah.
What are you even doing?
Captain America. No
point. He's like, I'm getting a paycheck.
Yeah, that's it. There's no purpose in this movie.
Oh, he has a purpose.
Oh, yeah.
No, that has no purpose in the movie either.
He has a purpose.
Oh, no, that's purpose is to take you further down.
Well, it's like here we see he quickly throws up his hood because acid rain starts to fall and... Snake's just like, yeah, whatever. It's not even going to touch my hair. Fuck
all
that.
All the product that's in his hair is not going to affect him. Like.
Yeah. By product, he means dried body fluids.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Either way, he's essentially wearing a helmet.
Yeah. But at least it's actually his hair and like not like a wig that comes off during the fight scene.
So.
Where are we now? God. All right. So now... There's surfers with the machine guns. He walks by. There's like a random car gun battle for no reason. Oh,
yeah.
I'm like, I just don't care.
You don't care.
He finds the remaining team member, the rescue team member.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Who did that?
What?
What?
Does anyone else not smell that?
That's your upper lip, dude. I don't smell that.
I thought that's what you were laughing about.
No.
Oh, no.
I looked away for a second. Everyone's giggling like.
No.
What do you, what?
Oh, sure. I do.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I am getting a little something.
Yeah, it's more than a little
it wasn't
something.
Wasn't me. I fully admit when I let loose, so.
Maybe it's drifting in through the open window.
Maybe.
Is there a dragon sitting on top of the roof just shitting outside the window?
It's the death of this movie.
It could be. Yeah.
Once again.
All right.
There's a car fight of some kind. People random. Shooting at each other. Just to show you it's LA.
Dangerous.
And even the guys gunfighting in the cars didn't even look like they cared.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate the thought, because the next, I'd say, 20 minutes of this movie are trying to show you the environment that they're in. Because most of the scenes just aren't necessary at all. It's just the storyline.
No.
It's just,
the whole submarine scene? Yeah. Absolutely not necessary. Not,
it's just to show you the environment that they've been put into. This kind of like hellish, post-apocalyptic type world that he's been put in. So you see, like, this car chase and gunfight. It's just normal stuff, everyday stuff now. And, like, what's next after this? He goes to...
This is when they see Cuervo and Utopia on parade.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. This is when he finds the rescue team member.
He goes to the brothel.
First goes to the brothel.
Oh, they give him a tracker device because the team that went in to get it the first time all had traces on them. So he has a way to track those signals.
Yeah.
Which leads him to this brothel.
He's supposed to help them out in the hopes that they will then be able to help him out in accomplishing this whole mission.
Yeah.
But as soon as he gets there, he finds out the dude's already been killed.
But they fucking crucified. Say it before he goes, oh yeah, they're probably already dead. But you know, you never know. Try that first.
Yeah.
Why don't you blow a few hours on that? Of the 8-hour timer.
Yeah. They literally say, oh, they're probably dead.
Give a shot. Whatever.
It's not even like that guy has a crucial piece of equipment or something.
Nope. It's that he might know something that might help you. That's what they said.
All he's got is the dude from Revenge of the Nerds throwing knives at him and being a dick.
Now, I wish. It really is a Carradine. But I wish that they let him throw the knife at him, turn around, caught it, and threw it right back, hit him right dead center in the head.
Yeah.
I wish they would put that in there because that would have been a nice touch to Big Trouble Little China.
Homage there. Would have. No, but we don't really want to reference better movies.
No.
At least we got that right.
Yeah.
Although, again, might have been a Jaws reference, so maybe not. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's going around. He's like, ask one of the prostitutes in here, show me where to find Cuervo. She sends him on his way down the street.
You want some tequila, baby? That's what she should have said.
Just on a drink.
Now we see the parade of cars.
Now we see the parade.
Cuervo and Utopia riding on a car.
Yeah, it's got a Cadillac with little doll heads all over it.
Yeah, why? Why doll heads?
Why not?
Yeah.
There's a disco ball on the back because he thinks it's cool. I don't know. All right.
That's
cool.
How he gets down.
Neat. Yeah. Neat, I guess.
Why not?
Yeah, he's like, look how big my dick is. Yay.
Yay. I've got a trail of armored cars and horses and motorcycles behind me, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Let's get to those motorcycles.
Right when I saw the motorcycles, I was like, oh, no.
For a good minute, I was like, this might be cool. For a minute, he knocks first off the motorcycle. I'm like, he takes the motorcycle. All right, let's see what happens here. And then the minute's over, I'm like, oh, this is what I got. Okay.
Other than The Great Escape, what has it ever been cool when a guy got on a motorcycle in the movie?
Ghost Rider.
Yes.
All right. Cool. Serious answer, though. Like, it always goes wrong.
Tron?
Okay, if Tron is the best.
wait. Terminator 2.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Boom.
That's probably the best on a motorcycle. Yeah. That one's okay. But for the most part, it always sucks.
Yeah.
Because they always make them do something stupid that, like, a motorcycle doesn't do.
Yeah.
Like, case in point, when he jumps this motorcycle onto that pickup truck.
I think
the beginning of Speed 2.
No, Tony.
Oh, God.
Tony.
I know.
Okay.
I'm just being a dick. All right, so.
First of all, he doesn't jump this motorcycle on. All right, somebody goes into the film, cuts a little frame of him out, paste it onto the back of a pickup truck.
And they just slowly enlarge him. It looks like he's flying onto the truck. But I love how he just comes to a perfect stop immediately.
Yeah.
It looks like he was put there by a meteorologist. Yeah. Just like, boop, 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 boop,
boop. It's the worst effect.
Yeah.
We have a Snake Plissken coming in from the southeast. Just flops it right there. Oh, it's so terrible. It's so terrible.
Quality of, like, what was it? Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids, and he had the little talking pen.
Yeah.
It's like that style. Just do, do, do,
that's
do,
why
do.
I made the sound effect. I was thinking of that too. But it's just like, dude, I've already seen a dinosaur on screen that I believed was there. Like, yeah.
Yeah, again, Jurassic Park. Was 3 years earlier than this.
Could we just watch Jurassic Park next week? Could we not even roll? Could we just do that?
More in budget?
I can't keep doing this. Right.
So, hold on.
I can't keep doing this to my body anymore.
So there's every other trope on a motorcycle you could think of. Like all the bad ones happen.
Wheelies.
Like he rides chain. Between two guys. It just stops. And of course they just shoot each other.
Yep. The dude with a chain wraps around him. So he hits the brakes and that guy goes flying off. Lands perfectly in the back of a pickup so he can start climbing over that and shooting everybody in the face.
All the motorcycles explode.
Of course. Explosive on impact.
So Cuervo's like, I got this. He attacks with Bolo. It's super effective.
Yeah.
So the least effective weapons are the most effective against him. I think that's what we're learning here.
First of all, conventional. What is this, for lack of a better term, what is this mob boss doing? With a damn bolo, anyway.
It's different.
Is he an action figure from Kenner? He just is required to come with a bolo weapon at some point.
He watched a lot of Thundercats when he was a kid, and he loved that Panthro. Yeah,
it's like
Panthro's the shit.
I want to be that Panthro when I'm bigger. I'm gonna throw a bolo at people.
I mean, yeah,
and not even like use it effectively like Batman does. He's just gonna wrap it around his dumb neck.
It worked.
It did work.
I guess, for a minute.
He's like, I'm going to transition you to an even stupider scene.
This is a scene that I've seen clips of before.
Yeah.
Yeah. bunch of these guys surround him with guns. He's like, how about we do this Taiwan style? No, what is it? Bangkok style. Bangkok rules, that's what it is.
And it didn't involve a dick shot.
Yes, sir, that's what I was expecting. Yeah. I thought he was just going to go, like, you know, flag the hammer and just be like, bang, 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 right in the junk, the Jimmy hats.
Yeah. So I don't know why the guys are like, okay, we'll go along with this dude for no reason.
Why not?
We knew exactly what this means, so he backed up to make room for it or whatever.
But yeah, so he grabs a can, he goes, I'm going to throw it in the air. When it hits the ground, we all draw. No one draws before it hits the ground. They're like, all right. He throws it up. They all watch it go up in the air. He just shoots them all. And then lands. He goes, draw. Like, that's it.
Yeah, like, you suck. You just suck.
He's clever.
That's not clever. This is just douchey.
Hey, you know, about how low this has gotten? So Steve Buscemi shows up now. And I'm not excited
at all.
At all. I'm like, I'm sorry, Steve Buscemi.
You're like, you're here because Rob Schneider was busy.
Yeah. And I mean, even in Con Air, I was like, Steve Buscemi, I still believe in you.
But, I'm like Con Air.
What?
I'm like Con Air.
At this point.
You didn't. Well, you think you did.
Wait till we roll it.
Is it on this?
I'm sure it is.
It should be. But yeah, at this point when Steve Buscemi showed up, I was just like, no, Steve Buscemi, there's still time. Get out. Just go. Turn right around.
He's like, you know what? I will leave for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly knew he was in the rest of it, but I was just like, a part of me was like, yes, stay away, Steve Buscemi.
What year did Fargo come out?
Around now.
Yeah. You know? Okay.
But I mean, this is after Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, but I mean, that's 96. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Anyway.
It doesn't really matter, I guess.
He's in this, whether you like it or not. But yeah, he just shows up. He's like, yeah, you got to go down that way, and you should take one of my maps, because I'm Johnny Maps to the Stars.
Eddie Maps
to the Stars.
Of course. Steve Buscemi. Of course his name's Eddie.
Like, Kurt Russell, he's like, I don't care about anyone I meet here. He's just like, whatever, fuck you. I'm not.
Because you're like, I don't care about anything in this movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever, fuck you. Let's get it over with.
I mean, that's Snake Plissken's character, but that's also Kurt Russell's just like, this is next.
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Let's keep moving.
Yeah.
So he starts heading down this road when he sees some kind of commotion that causes him to hide in a bush, where we find that
bunch of hooded people. Black robes and hoods.
And we get the chick from Hot Shots.
Yes.
Hiding in a bush.
How is it everybody recognizes her from Hot Shots?
I didn't recognize her from Hot Shots.
I have not seen that movie since I was a kid. Who's watching Hot Shots?
I think we are one of these.
A magical age. That scene in Hot Shots where they're doing it with the food.
And they cook an egg on her belly.
Yeah. It.
I referenced that before.
It was burned into my memory.
Yeah.
Was that?
It's all the blue lighting.
Was that?
I'm not proud of that, but that's why I remember her.
Does Joe want to talk to us about his sexual awakening right now?
Do we want
to
hear it? No.
Yes. No! No, actually, first off,
was based around Hot Shots, yes.
First off, I already talked about my sexual awakening on a different show. But second off...
This is a sexual awakening towards food.
Yeah, this was... No, just how I remember her.
But yeah, so anyway... she kind of gives him some shit. She's like, find your own bush. And he's like, whatever. And then he just like kind of jumps out of the bush. He's like, so wait, what's good? Oh, there's a weird hooded man in front of me. Oh shit, there's two more on the side. Yeah. And they just hit him.
Clever girl.
Yeah, hit him with a net gun.
Now, was that a call out to the dress part?
No, it's still Fallout. It said clever ghoul. Get it? Is it? No.
Huh.
Right. I see what you did there.
Thank you. Thank you for laughing.
Okay. How we get to another disappointing scene. Because this
unnecessary.
Like, everything in this movie, the setup is cool. Like, you see this place, you're like, all these plastic surgery nightmares. It's like another Evil Dead kind of vibe going on in here. I'm like, I would like to see something terrible happen here. You get Bruce Campbell comes down.
In its defense, something terrible does happen. Yeah.
You know, Bruce Campbell's there. He's got all the terrible plastic surgery.
We talked about this before because I would love to know if he was actually the influence on this, but he looks like Handsome Jack.
Kind of, yeah.
Like he just needed the bolts in the line and he would have been Handsome Jack.
Yep. And this is 90s Bruce Campbell where he like kind of starts to be able to act a little bit.
He's always able to act. What are you talking about?
Did you watch Evil Dead 2 with us?
Sure did.
All right.
I mean, it's post Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that means anything.
It's just his chops. He's just got chops. Now.
Yeah.
They'll call jowls.
Now he has jowls. Have you,
yeah, now he has, yeah. Just because he had all that makeup on, man. Yeah. He still had that full.
He does not have jowls. He's got a keg. He doesn't have jowls.
All right. So that's an indication of the status of this movie, because we're now talking about how fat Bruce Campbell is rather than this scene.
But we love you,
yeah,
Bruce
Campbell.
Yeah, I love
you, Bruce Campbell. I know you're not listening, but I love, man.
You might be listening. You might never know. Yeah.
If we ever have a shot of getting any celebrity on the podcast, it probably is Bruce Campbell.
Well, what's he doing right now?
No, it's Danny Trejo first, for sure.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, we just have to write him a letter. He'll be on here.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Make sure it's heartfelt. But, one of you guys with a heart, do that.
Who has a heart?
So anyway, this is Bruce Campbell is like a surgeon monster.
Yeah, again, this is commentary on L.A. and the surgery crowd and all the terrible things they're doing to their face. And isn't that clever?
Yeah. So will our liaison in California please write into us and explain to us the world of the drippy face monsters that live out there? Because I'm really just curious to know about it.
It's all plastic surgery that's gone wrong. I'm sure there's a lot of it out there.
Yeah, I think if you want to know, just watch The Real Housewives of L.A.
Nah, that's okay. No.
That's pretty much it.
I'd rather read it.
So he uses his opportunity, at least, to get in a flagrant boob grab.
Of course. He does.
Yeah. And then
he's The Real.
Like, Bruce Campbell does, that is.
Yeah, and then he's like, I'm going to just immediately go for this dude's eye.
Yep.
Nice and blue. Nice and blue.
Yeah.
But he's got his little mouth dart dealy, and hits Bruce Campbell with it. He of course just kind of bumbles his way forward and cuts him loose, so he can grab his gun. And he's about to get out of there. Hotshot's girl's like, "Take me with you. You need a guide." And he's like, "Yeah, all right, whatever."
That's basically it.
End of scene. 90s movie. Of course, I need a guide.
Yeah.
Knocks Bruce Campbell out, and they run away. Huzzah!
Take me with you.
So yeah, we go to like a freeway hellscape. It's probably the most convincing looking long shot in the movie.
And here's the sad part. Like, it's all I could think of was the scene, a very similar scene from The Walking Dead, which is based on a comic book, but looked more real than this does, which looks like a scene out of a comic book. So it's just, that was jarring. But then, they're making their way through a bunch of broken cars, and he's like, I'm going to go this way, you go do your thing, whatever, I'll see you later.
They meet some people, he's praying.
He starts walking off, she just immediately shows back up, and she's like, no, I'm coming, like, whatever, and Oh yeah, first she totally throws herself at him, like, I broke up with my boyfriend tonight, because let's bring that up for some reason.
It's the hair, though, that's what it is. That's what watching movies you learn. Like, the bigger the hair, the more you eat ladies.
We just got away from some evil surgeons. We got some time now. Want to fuck?
That's pretty much it.
He's like, nope. But if you walk alongside me and talk, I won't care until some random Asian guy shoots you.
Yeah, I should probably point out that anyone that talks to me, especially of the female persuasion, tend to die. So. Just to warn you about that now. And she's like, no, it'll be fine. I know some people up ahead. See, they're chanting and whatever. And then, oh, what do you know? I got shot.
Yeah, once you figure this place out, it's not so bad. And there's just random people firing Uzis at the freeway.
Yeah, and random as fuck.
She dies.
Yep. Shot right in the chest.
Shot through the heart.
Yeah.
And you're to blame.
Point of the scene?
None. Zero. Next.
Oh, what? Steve Buscemi's back. He's like, oh, so that other character they tried to give you. Guess that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Guess I have to be the sidekick.
Now I'm the guide.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. So he's like, here, get in my car. We're going to go driving off to wherever you need to go. But, oh, guess what? Double cross.
So my question is this, right? Now, I know my first thought when I first saw that first car chase on the island, who refuels the place?
Yeah, where are they getting the gas?
Yeah, where's it coming from? Because they're cut off from everything, right? So wouldn't they run out of gas by now?
Does the border go all the way up to Alaska?
It's an island.
Or it's just around, okay.
I would imagine the Navy would have a trade embargo on it.
I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe they found a new source of fuel.
I know there's like...
steal all the gas from all the cars and are slowly rationing it out.
I mean, I know there's oil in L.A. and stuff like that. I mean, I know that, but like...
Not enough.
People got to work, refining it. That's not happening there still. Anyway, sorry.
didn't even think about
what
that.
What are we even doing now?
Honestly, when we saw that first car scene, all I could think of is Futurama when Fry and his girlfriend try to go into the future. Remember that? Pauly Shore. Never mind. All right. Anyway.
So.
I'm drifting.
Yeah. So what? They find out now that Utopia's magic lunchbox has the targeter for this ring of EMP satellites.
Yeah. Yes. Which is like.
The sword of Damocles. Targeter.
Again, shit that I don't quite understand. Like, with global economy being what it is, who would let some nation launch that many giant satellites with nuclear warheads on them that can point laser beams back down at the Earth to cut off, to send EMP shockwaves to over the entire planet? Like,
yeah, and let them have a geosynchronous orbit.
Yeah, like, no, that would have been fought immediately. Like,
well, even now, more than one nation has the ability to launch a missile to destroy a satellite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they would have just been like, you're positioning that over my airspace? All right,
it's fuck you. Up. Yeah, it's gone.
So, well, here, all right. So the satellite has a bomb on it.
That's what they said.
A bomb.
A neutron bomb, I believe they said.
That explodes, and then once it explodes, the satellite sends an EMP.
Yeah.
No idea.
Okay.
Fuzzy science.
I'll try to play along. Fuzzy math here.
Let's say it's like the Yamato cannon in StarCraft, where they use a magnetic field a very strong magnetic field to contain a nuclear blast into a beam.
You just lost
nobody.
Me.
Nobody.
You lost me. You lost me.
But like, okay, so I don't know if science even works with that. So maybe that's what they're doing.
No, well.
But it's like it's just an EMP and fires out like a beam. But it's a neutron bomb, which doesn't do an EMP. A neutron bomb kills people.
Right.
It leaves all the equipment intact.
And presumably would
And like, so at first I was like,
science!
I'll go with it. I'll go with it. But then he says, but with this, we can target it to be as precise as a taxi cab in Argentina or whatever. I'm like,
yeah, where's the rest of that energy?
What?
Just out into space.
So, like.
Sorry, Argentina.
All right. We'll just correct the science. Let's just assume that it's just firing EMPs somehow and doesn't involve blowing up neutron bombs.
Yeah, because I also want to know if that's the case and you're like, for whatever reason, we need to target this cab. Do you blow up an entire satellite just to take out that one guy's cab?
Maybe.
Like, fuck your cell service, buddy. Bam. We'll have to spend a few $1,000 to get another satellite up there next week.
Mm-hmm. They got like the Chinese knockoff of the Death Blossom.
Yeah. And that would have cost trillions of dollars to set up.
Oh, yes, you bought the kill frower. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the bad guy activates it. All the satellites just spin around in orbit and shoot lasers.
That would be amazing.
Doing nothing to the people on the planet.
Well, no, batteries were not.
Save that for Escape from Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one can escape the quad laser.
The beam was enormous.
It was impossible. Okay. So. Jose Cuervo here is like,
why am I here? What am I doing?
Yeah, well,
he's like, I guess I'm a bad guy. I got this targeter. You sent Snake Plissken here, and he's an asshole. So I'm gonna shut down the capital of your country.
Yep.
With your satellite.
But I'm not going to. I'm just gonna tell you that I'm going to.
Oh yeah, something we missed. While this is happening, so somehow Bolivia, Colombia, Cuba have all positioned themselves to mount an attack on the United States that they're worried about. I'm like, do y'all not know geography? You know, fucking hard that fucking, like.
Well, presumably they're coming with some sort of naval flotilla, but like, I don't know what the country's like in this world, in real life, that would be a disaster for them. Yeah. Like,
well, also being fair, we don't know how the geography of the world, we know that like LA has like separated from the United States. So maybe other kind, like maybe tectonic plates. I don't know why I'm trying to defend this.
Yeah. Maybe Colombia invaded Canada and now they're poised and ready.
1996 United States Navy. If they had that in 2013, they still could take out all of Cuba, all of Colombia. Like,
yeah.
It wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, like, not at all.
It wouldn't be a problem at all.
Yeah, like if you took out Russia and China from the equation, I think the Navy would be bigger than the rest of the world's navies combined.
I don't know about that, but what I do know of LA's geography, they don't know what geography is or how it works, because he walks over most of LA to, from what I can tell, basically makes a big loop back around to what would have been much closer to where he landed.
Yeah, he just fast travels.
Yeah. It's Fallout.
That's
He just,
Skyrim, I appreciate how you have a way to take a carriage to get somewhere so then you fast travel afterwards. I appreciate that.
Yeah. He hooked a wave,
guys. Man. We've been fucking around enough. Let's play some basketball.
Yeah.
Like, so there's a big coliseum.
You ready for this?
Big giant coliseum. Nope. Inside, there's all these people with guns shouting and screaming. There's just
gladiator. At least the Coliseum's real.
Yeah. They have gladiator fights going on in the middle. People in cages with bats and swords and axes.
And you're like, all right, another round of this from the first movie.
Yeah. And then in one corner, I noticed a guy shoot a basketball. And I went, basketball? That's weird. It zooms in on that corner. It's a guy running away, trying to make a basket. And then he misses, and people go, oh, and they shoot him.
Yep.
And I'm like, what the fuck's about to happen?
Well, then what happens is a bunch of little aliens come down, and they have to get the Looney Tunes to come in to actually help them win a basketball.
I'd rather be watching Space Jam.
We should watch Space Jam. Maddie,
Please stop. Please stop.
You don't listen, Matt. That's right.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I was going to say something about how Lola Bunny was the one in the corner, but... So this guy gets killed, and we throw Snake Plissken into the ring, or cage, or court, whatever the fuck.
Cuervo, he goes, I promised you another death today, a spectacular death. I got a death for you. Snake Plissken, he's going to play basketball.
Yeah, it's like, when he gets on the court, a bunch of guys going to jump him. No, he's just going to play basketball.
Yep.
The rules are, you have a 10-second shot clock. It's full court basketball. You have to score 10 points.
Court to court
before either your shot clock runs out or you miss a shot. If your shot clock runs out, you get shot. If you miss a shot, you get shot. There was a third thing.
No 3-point bullshit.
No 3 points don't count. I mean, they only count 2 points, so you can't like make extra 3 points. When was there an overall time limit too?
Something like that.
I don't know.
I think there was an overall time limit too.
Yeah.
So you
gotta score 10 points.
I forgot how long it was, but yes.
Yeah, you gotta score 10 points. So let's play.
Yeah.
And to make it more interesting, you'll face off against the Washington Generals.
Yeah, I mean, how much more interesting would it have been if there were like some gladiators in there, like, okay, you gotta, you know, get past and dunk on this dude who has a chainsaw.
Yeah.
You know, and you only have like 30 seconds to do it or something like that. That sounds like a kind of cool action scene. Yeah. It's still kind of dumb, but I mean, at least something cool could happen.
So he's just shooting some b-ball outside of school.
Yeah.
A couple of guys were up to no good.
There weren't even a couple guys up to no good.
By himself.
Yeah.
Well, there are a bunch of guys on the outside with guns.
Yeah.
He always says no one has ever made it off the court alive for this game. So he makes his first shot. Most people do. 10 seconds counts down again. He makes a second shot with like a second left on the shot clock, reset the shot clock. He has to shoot from further away this time because he can't quite get to make a layup. He makes that shot. Yeah. Next time he shoots from half court because he couldn't get in time. He makes that shot. Now he's all the way across the court and you get the slow motion. What's going to happen next? Everyone's like, oh, he's going to die. Oh, and he hurls one up.
Gives that girl a look.
The one thing I'll give him is that Kurt Russell actually did make that shot.
Yes.
However,
eventually.
Yeah, like NBA players can't reliably make that shot with no defenders.
I mean, they can.
Like a full court shot, though.
They do it in practice all the time, but like.
But they still take a shitload of tries. Yeah,
they would make it more often than like one of us would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you know, they're probably shooting at like 10%, or we're at like half a percent. You know
what I mean?
Well, I think you're just making judgments now.
This it's just so stupid. Like, he just does it, and it's like, of course he just does it, and like, there's no trick to it or anything. He just does it.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, I'm walking off this bitch, and people are like, what the fuck's about to happen? And they start chanting his name.
Yeah.
Like snake.
What year did Gladiator come out?
I don't know.
Was it 2000 or 99, something like that?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So Gladiator ripped off of this movie. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
I don't remember the basketball scene.
They should have put a tiger in there with them.
Yeah.
Again, would have been more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And to save face, Cuervo's like, I'm just going to shoot him.
Yeah. I will say, his assault rifle was fucking cool. That was a sweet gun.
Yeah, I have the same one.
Mm-hmm. But he misses a shot.
Yeah.
Snake climbs out of the cage.
And he just runs away from a stadium full of people. Just runs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then there's an earthquake. Ooh, earthquake. Yeah. Ooh, rumble, rumble.
Oh, no.
Which everyone sounds like they're totally used to in this town. Like, Snake was the only one that seemed to be bothered by the earthquake up until now.
Well, no, bunch of people were running.
Well, they also did specify before, like, they get a lot of aftershocks and whatever.
Yeah, but so everyone was like, okay, it's not a big deal. Yeah.
Well, I think somebody called it a pre-shock in the... Mm. In the stands, he was like, pre-shock.
Like,
I don't know.
Like a lot of people in this movie, he didn't know what he was talking about.
That's right. Fair. That is fair.
So, what even happens now?
This is when he starts blowing up cars.
Oh, yeah. So, he escapes. No one chases him. There's an earthquake. Cuervo walks out there and Snake just beats him up and takes his case.
Yeah.
Runs away.
And in my head, I'm like, cool, movie's over. Like, or act two or act three of the movie starts now where he's trying to get away with the thing.
Now he needs to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a cool movie. That would be an escape from L.A.
Right.
You know?
That would.
Have it like a rundown kind of scenario.
But what does happen?
Steve Buscemi.
So he goes into the sewer trying to get out that way. Mm-hmm. Utopia follows him and she's like, take me with you. I want to go back. Cuervo's crazy. He's a fucking killer. Take me back. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And he's like about to shoot her. She's like, my dad told you to shoot me, huh? He's like, I can't shoot you because I have, I don't know why.
Reasons.
Yeah. Buscemi shows up. He shoots him. He shoots Kurt Russell, shoots Snake, whatever. Earthquake again.
Ooh, earthquake. The only person again. That can shoot him at all. Nicks him in the leg.
Yeah, for real. Like, he was the only one who shot him. Like, mm-hmm. Go Buscemi with your crooked eye. That's why he hit him.
Yeah. That's why
he hit him. I can see easily around corners.
This guy's like, aim here and we'll fire there. So we're good. All right.
So he gets the case.
It's my snaggle tooth.
Is Snake
Plissken
like, what's that weird cat from D&D that...
Displacer Beast?
Yeah, you see the image here, but it's actually like 2 feet next to that or something?
Displacer Beast.
Yeah.
Maybe that he's one of those.
Well, the hair products just emit a haze around him. Mm-hmm. Makes it difficult to target.
That would make Buscemi a blink dog. Mm. That's why he hit him.
Steve Buscemi is definitely a blink dog.
For sure.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know why, but it seems to fit so right.
It's a fucking Dookie Cuervo here. Like, this guy, Steve Buscemi, just saves your whole operation, right? Fucking tags Snake Plissken, gets the suitcase, all that.
Brings your girlfriend back.
Yeah. All that back. He's like, you asshole, why didn't you kill him? And he's all mad, like he's gonna shoot him. It's like, dude, he's the only one in your whole team that has any initiative.
Well, I would have just been like, why don't you ask that of your entire staff and yourself? Yeah. I did more than any of them.
They all stood there while he kicked your ass.
Yeah, you just got punched and laid out. So
I would like this twist where, like, after this, Map Eddie is like, fuck this, I should run this. I'm a useful one out of everyone here. And, like, backstab him again to, like, take over. I think that would have been a better...
Yeah, because I don't care about Cuervo at all.
At all. You have no reason to.
I don't care about anybody.
Yeah, but, yeah, it should have been one of those points where he gets overthrown now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, we have to move on to even something stupider.
Yep.
I mean, something even stupider.
Who wants to take this?
Go ahead. I'll set it up. So he comes out of the sewer. Peter Fonda's just standing there.
So boy. Oh, boy.
Gets a surfboard. And he's just like, oh, you know, it's tourniquet your leg, and you better know how to surf, because here comes the big one.
Yeah, at this point, before he even said that, I go, no.
Yeah.
No.
All right, I'll give him credit.
And I was going,
in
yes.
that he was smart enough to realize, because of the earthquake, the water's going to leave and then come back. So there's going to be a badass wave. I'll give him that. Sure. But this scene is stupid as hell.
So, I mean, there should have been a shark in this scene. For him to
this
come
is
over.
Probably the lowest point of the movie.
I'm surprised there was not a bad CGI shark in this.
Yeah.
Bat rollerblades, you say?
I think the lowest point comes towards the end of the movie, Joe.
Yeah.
There's competition for lowest.
Yeah.
It's just, it's pretty much.
So this is the one that made this movie as infamous as it is, where Peter Fonda And Snake, with his one eye and his now shot leg, who's hobbling all over the place, just get on surfboards, wait for the tsunami to come back in.
Symptoms have set in. He has like a fever.
Oh, yeah, he's got, a headache and whatever else.
I've got a flu, I'm crippled, and I have no depth perception. Yeah, let's surf.
Let's go surfing in full clothes. So they do just that. The tsunami comes in, they catch a wicked wave.
Oh, my God, and I dookie to shooter.
It's the finest that Windows 95 graphics had to offer.
Oof.
John Carpenter's like, you know what? I don't give one shit anymore. Fine, he's surfing.
Is it bad that all I could think was that very special episode of Smart Guy where he's trying to have kids take pictures on the surfboard?
It is very bad that you think about that.
Where's it going with this? Where's it going? Where's
I do not know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
The short version is a pedophile was trying to get kids in less clothing by taking pictures on a surfboard in front of a green screen.
This is what we'd rather talk about.
Let it be known, this is not what I would rather talk about.
The point is, it's terrible.
Isn't there a Sonic the Hedgehog episode? Okay, anyway.
So, fucking dumbass Steve Buscemi is just driving around.
Yeah, he happens to be driving by the... He happens to be driving by the road next to the tsunami. Like, I can't even imagine.
Because, tsunamis are just things you can keep up with in a car.
Yeah. Also, you can always trust the tsunami is going to stay to that little canal, and you're totally not going to get wiped out. The earthquake certainly didn't cause any of this to collapse into the canal or anything else.
And he sees that Snake is chasing him on a surfboard going in that one direction.
Wow. So he just hits the gas pedal.
He sees that Snake is also against the blue screen.
He sees that strongly implied Snake is chasing him.
It's like Birdemic level bad.
It's terrible. Oh, yeah. It's close. So bad.
It's close. Real bad.
Well, I pretty like Steve Buscemi just kind of like, all right, now look over here. Now look surprised at something. Like oh no.
Legit. I thought this was a made for TV movie at points.
Yeah, and I like how there's no struggle at all. He can just surf.
Yep.
He can play basketball better than anyone. He's an awesome surfer.
Well, it's
Snake Plissken. He can do it all.
It's the 90s and you're doing a sequel, so obviously you're just going to be choking on your own junk the whole time.
As I said before, he's the best of the best.
Yeah.
I do wish there was the Pork Chop Express somewhere in there.
I kind of wish that too. Like in the beginning when he gets to LA, I kind of wish like a truck almost runs him over and he's like, ugh, dang, Pork Chop Express almost ran me down.
It like shoots the monster hanging off the back. All right, so
why aren't there mutants in this?
Yeah, he just jumps into Steve Buscemi's car.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just jumps on the back of that. Has a little row with Steve Buscemi.
He high-fives the surfer dude first before...
yes, he does.
He high-five, and then he surfs off.
Oh, God.
Bye, pointless character.
Yeah. Bye. Pointless character's like, my work here is done. I'm going to get my check and go.
Yeah. I helped bring this movie down a peg. I'll see you later. Right. Him and Steve Buscemi are now in this car.
He beats his head on the steering wheel a bunch of times.
Yeah. Finally he's like, you know, I need your help. You need to, I don't know. He's trying to get him to do something. I forget exactly what we're talking at this point, but, somewhere around here, he asks him to take him to Hershey.
Yeah. Just go see Hershey.
He's like, well, I guess I'm done helping Cuervo cause he's a turd.
Yeah. Which, sure. Whatever. I'll take you to Hershey and we can like try and form an army and take this over and blah, blah, blah.
All right. So now we see Pam Grier.
Yeah, Pam Grier.
Also, too classy for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a dude.
Oh, my God.
Named Hershey.
Yep.
Yep.
Ouch. Ouch. Ouch.
Now, was she in the first movie?
No.
No.
Okay.
She apparently was in the Midway prequel thing in Cleveland, yeah. As a dude, I guess.
Yeah, Carjack.
Carjack. Mm-hmm. Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Carjack Malone.
She was played by Whoopi Goldberg in that one.
So, he's like, I guess he kind of sort of liked this dude. He's like, you're a girl now?
Like they were friends.
They worked together, but it sounded like Carjack dicked him over. But I guess it's because he was an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a complicated past, I suppose.
Whatever. They BS for a little while. He's like, you want to help me out? She's like, fine. Yeah, get some hang gliders.
It's just a slightly less friendly version of you son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's like, you remember this guy from Big Trouble, Little China in the background? Yeah, he's got some hang gliders.
Yeah, because why not?
That same guy that's in all the John Carpenter movies.
Yeah, we got him back. Mm-hmm.
This, I felt, was a low point in the movie.
Yeah, oh, this is stiff competition. Yeah, this is pretty damn bad.
What are you talking about? Because this is when we go on our Ewok adventure. Like,
we have to get there within an hour. So we only have an hour left. What's her name drops the hint that, like, this virus that they gave him is fake.
Wow.
It's not real. Don't really kill anybody. And he's like, whatever. I have a countdown to make. Yeah. So they're like, all right. So we have an hour to get there, but it takes 2 hours to get there. How are we going to make it there? And he's like, the goon is like, we use a Santa Ana. Santa Ana wins. Mm-hmm. The skies by night.
Death from above.
Death from above. Yeah. I'm like, I'm just going, no, no, no.
Like, there's no way this is going to be cool.
And like, I was just like, is there going to be hang gliding in this movie?
I would have rather watched them assault the thing in a fucking hot air balloon than what we got here. Okay, actually, I want an action movie in a hot air balloon.
Get is some really bad Pam Grier, Kurt Russell, and Steve Buscemi in these hang glider. Well, in harnesses and green screen, flying into Cruel World.
Just having a conversation. Just talking. Flying on hang gliders.
Just talking.
And I like they're all just kind of hanging there, except Steve Buscemi, who's just wildly whipping about. Yeah. And just like, you're like, clearly not.
Has anyone been in any kind of thing that lets them move faster than a walk?
Nope.
Because, like, yeah, you try to talk, you're just like... like, just constantly.
You can go on your bikes downhill. Yeah. You're, like, yeah. You're not talking to anybody.
Yeah. So, whatever. Fucking hang gliders.
Before they go, Steve
he's got an idea.
He has an idea, and he takes a little disc and marks it so it looks like the one that's inside the remote control. Right. So he does that, and then they as they're flying, they're like, we need a distraction. He goes, I got you. He crash lands down in the big complex. Buscemi lands down. He's like, Cuervo, I'm supposed to give you a heads up. They're coming for you. Like, they're coming here to attack you. And like, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but, oh no, someone minds you. And he falls over onto him. Yeah. People start shooting. He grabs the case, takes the control out. It's all like, you see it happening.
Yeah.
Cuervo's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, I love how he's like, look over there, and like 10 guys just unload their clips at whatever he points at.
Yeah, just destroys this building while he just grabs this case and rummages through it, and Cuervo's just like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's like an overreaction that wouldn't even happen in Predator.
I heard a mountain lion.
Steve Buscemi's about to die, but then here comes Snake and Hershey.
Can we just talk about, they're coming in on these hang gliders, and just before they do that, it shows a scene where everyone is gathered in this arena, firing weapons into the air.
Just for the hell of it.
They're out of bullets now.
Is that what happened? They just circled around until they ran out of ammo.
Oh, it was a CGI helicopter that showed up.
Oh, my God.
This helicopter.
Oh, my God. Freaking, what's that?
Transformer.
What's that,
Airwolf?
Yeah, Airwolf or the Hulk Hogan boat thing.
Yeah.
Thunder
in Paradise. I don't remember the
thing.
I don't remember what the boat was. Was it called Thunder in Paradise?
The TV show. Right.
Well, yeah, that was the name of the show. I don't know if that was the name of the boat.
No.
Oh, my God. It was just awful. Awful.
Why does it transform?
Because
the weight you spent on being able to do that couldn't have been spent on anything else.
And how does it transform? Yeah. That's like super mass shifting.
I also imagine you're losing all your cargo area just to have the blades fold in for some reason.
Cargo and fuel.
Yeah.
All right. So another thing I don't get. Like, they're letting you land a helicopter there. So you're going to have this loud ass helicopter flying up. If you're worried about him noticing your aircraft, like, just have them attack when the helicopter comes by.
Right.
Whatever.
And the helicopter's landed because he demanded one, right?
Yeah. Right. He demanded
the whole
one.
Thing.
And
those put guys, the bomb on that.
He also immediately, those guys are just immediately killed.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's,
hold on.
Yeah.
So just glider assault. They're obviously just on a string, just, you know, on a crane just above the frame.
Yeah, this was amazing.
Because if you've seen a hang glider come in for a landing, it's not like a slow, graceful affair.
No, no. You're not flitting around like bats over this bunch of people.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying...
It's a step above tuck and roll. Yeah. Basically it.
That's why I said Steve Buscemi, for as much as they kind of played it as a joke, like his landing was actually the best he could have hoped for in that scenario.
Yeah, there's not an updraft inside the stadium.
Just, like, this is tight corners, and like, if you're not falling more than a story, you're good.
If there was a video game about this movie, this level must have sucked.
Oh, man.
I guarantee you the controls didn't work.
Oh, no.
If anything, you probably would just get sucked into the rotors of the helicopter. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, though, this game would be basically Ninja Turtles.
The Nintendo one?
Yeah.
The impossible Nintendo one.
It would be like that. Because you're on surfboards at one point.
Oh, but that's
you're
like
in the sewers at one point.
Oh no, you're talking the
beat 'em up arcade game, not the real.
Oh, okay,
so that's the fun as hell turtle game.
So yeah, your surfboards and hang gliders. I'm not sure if they're in the game or not. I don't think
the turtles were not on hang gliders. There were hang gliders involved.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But like,
the foot I think came in hang gliders in some parts,
or at least pterodactyls. I know. Okay. Wow, that's off topic.
They just gain control of the helicopter.
Yep.
Just nice and easy.
Yep.
Like, Snake just beats Cuervo's ass.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's again. Not even a contest.
Again.
Yeah.
Like, he just fucks him up.
But he doesn't kill him.
No.
Nope. Because, I don't know.
I really don't understand. Like, that would be problem solved. Like, what are you waiting for?
So Batman doesn't kill.
Shoots Cuervo.
Or maybe because Cuervo's mother's name was also Martha.
Like, that's it.
So he shoots Cuervo, then just falls out of the helicopter. It's fine somehow.
Yeah.
And like, Cuervo's like, all right, I got shot in the chest, whatever.
Rocket launcher.
Yeah.
Dude.
Everything in the scene takes getting shot like a champion. Because he has a bullet in his, basically in his heart.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's like, whatever, RPG. The helicopter's like, whatever, I don't care.
Wasn't that the rifle that Buscemi shot him with?
No, I think it was a handgun. I think it was...
No, it was a rifle.
Either way, he's fragged.
I don't know if it was that, like, hunting rifle that he was using, but it was a rifle. It was like a probably large caliber bullet.
I don't know what this helicopter's made out of, but it takes the RPG, like, whatever.
Energon? I don't know.
Yeah, garbage bags and Energon.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it kind of takes the RPG because it hits it. The back half of the cabin is incinerated with Pam Grier.
All that merch is done.
I still love you, Pam Grier.
I want to point out, this old helicopter that they have that transforms, it's made of garbage and Energon will just later evolve into the Michael Bay Transformers. Yes. Those are the elements you need. Bad CGI, Energon, and garbage bag.
But it's still flying.
Yeah.
It's still flying.
So Snake gives Utopia the remote, pushes her out the chopper.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like, run for the tree line and just disappear.
Now, you know, the president and everyone show up.
She gets about 5 feet.
Yeah.
And just grabbed. The helicopter just crash lands and explodes into a big fireball.
Mm-hmm. As it should.
And Snake just walks out of it, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he jumped a second beforehand.
Yeah. It's all the old need.
Eject from the helicopter maneuver.
Yeah, you know.
That's so safe.
Looks like I'm going to have to jump. You know,
in fairness... He could have put the blades back in the helicopter and actually had an ejection seat, but they chose not to do that.
That's true.
Hmm. I mean, helicopters have ejection seats.
They do now, yeah.
Yeah, they blow off the propellers. And...
Mm-hmm. All right, so we find out that Plutoxin 7, the virus he's infected with, is just a case of the flu.
Yep.
Yeah.
An acute case. So yeah.
And as soon as that timer runs out, it's like he's fine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think at that point it's more just he knows he's not going to die, so it's fucking whatever.
Like, he's not even pale anymore.
I have a cough.
He's like...
So they got the remote. Now they find it from Utopia. They're like, all right, give her the electric chair. I'm going to go fire an EMP at Cuba and Mexico.
Yep. I'm going to set in the coordinates. Get me on live television. So he's making his speech to the nation, like, Cuba's fucked.
Yeah.
The hell with them. And they try and hit the button, and we just get, you know, mapped to the stars. Just because Los Angeles was lost. So it's Steve Buscemi's recording. It's the fake.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Ooh.
Shock of shocks.
Yeah.
So turns out that Snake must be holding on to the real one when he tried to fake us out before because Utopia had one and blah, blah, blah. Nope, he actually had the real one. So let's try and get it from him. We'll try and kill him in front of everybody. Doesn't work out because guess what? That's a hologram.
Like, this is what I don't really get. So the president, he's like, I'm going full-ass, badass, bad guy now.
My dick is out.
Yeah, it's on somebody's shoulder right now. I put my dick on somebody's shoulder. I'm like, fuck it, it's my dick. I'm on live TV just being evil. I don't care because I got the bombs, so whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, like, show the whole world when I kill this guy. Show him. Show the whole world. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Do you. I'm like, dude, why the fuck are you? Why are you?
You talk bad about it. I'll just say it's false news.
Yeah, like, why?
Don't you do like a Rob Ford? It's just like I was on one of my drunken stupid.
I was on crack that day.
Also, I want to point this out because this did bug me. He had all his men in like a semicircle around Snake.
Yeah.
They all open fire, which, as we find out, it's a hologram.
Snake.
Would they not have just shot the crap out of each other? I mean, even if it was him, they clearly didn't hit him. Wouldn't some of them gotten shot?
The basketball thing, too.
Same
thing. Yeah, well, yeah. Like, why? How are these people just not dying? I don't understand.
Because they had blanks as their first.
All right. Everybody gets a load of blanks for the first round.
Just in case.
So here's where... Here's where I gotta agree with Snake. He's just like, this whole fucking world sucks. It's EMP the whole damn thing.
Yeah, like the world code is 666.
Yeah, he's like, remember that hologram you gave me? You said I only had one use for, like foreshadowing. You know, I'm using it now because I haven't used the whole movie yet. Here it is. I'm not there.
I even threw that quip back at that girl. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and then boom. Also, now that you know that, like, I'm gonna blow the whole world up and shit because fuck you guys and fuck you too and fuck you too. Now that I'm out of that. Oh, those matches you gave me. I'm going to use those too because, like, you said you never know you need matches. So now I'm using matches for these American Spirit cigarettes I found. Because
American Spirit.
I just found American Spirits. I just
found them. Well, I found the litter on the ground and I cried a single tear, but then it was a cigarette, so I smoked it.
The tear grew into a cigarette.
And then that's it. That's the movie.
That's the movie, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we get one little fade out with Welcome to the Human Race and cut to credits.
And we get the most generic of generic Rob Zombie songs.
Escape from L.A.
Yeah, that's Escape from L.A. from 1996. Okay, so on RottenTomatoes.com, I know you're not going to get that out, that's fine. On RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a 53%.
That is generous.
That's real generous.
Audience gave this a 39%.
All right, that's better.
Still a little generous.
All right, well, what is that's their thoughts and opinions. What are your thoughts, opinions, and recommendations, or not recommendations, on this one, Brian?
Don't watch this movie. Watch the Escape from New York. Wait.
While playing Fallout.
While playing Fallout, yeah. You know, just play Fallout. Just play Fallout.
Just watch the cutscenes.
Yeah. Just play Fallout. And then, like,
listen to Escape from New York in the background.
Yeah. That's it. This movie is not worth watching. There's, like, nothing in it is redeeming. Like, nothing's really cool in it. Pam Grier. I love me some Pam Grier. Like,
yeah, but there's got to be a better way.
Oh, yeah, there's much better
movies. Just watch Jackie Pam Brown if you're going to do that.
I mean, yeah, but like, you got to find some silver lining in this movie. It's Pam Grier, Lance.
Rob.
So, the 80s had a very specific, like, flavor to them. Movies, even bad 80s action movies, they still had an enjoyability to them for the most part. The 90s are all the same to me for action movies. They're all overly long, overly self-important. And they just have to, like, I don't know. They're just trying to be cool, and they're not cool. This movie's terrible. It was just an absolute chore to watch, and no.
Joe?
Yeah, 39% is very generous. I would say this movie did about 39% of the things right, but the things it did wrong were so bad that I can't see how anybody liked this movie. Like, I mean, they tried, but, like, there were points with, like, the surfing scene, the hang gliders, the motorcycle scene, the basketball, where, like, should at least one person have stepped up and said, you know what? This is bullshit. But no, I guess not. Or if they did, they were squashed. Because, like Rob said, this is indicative of the problem with 90s action movies. They went with the bigger is better approach, but, like, lost the movie's soul in the process. And didn't even get the bigger part right. They just made it a bigger pile of crap. Just no on the movie.
Okay. I'm going to defend it a little bit here. Hear me out. I see more what's going on with this. Like I said, this is a satire not only on LA and the country, but on action movies, particularly 90s ones. It's why you get the, you know, we're going to force you into the leather, black, tight-fitting outfit and so on. We do all the tropes that we got you on a motorcycle. We got you randomly playing basketball for no reason. It's all intentionally that stupid. So I can appreciate it on some level. But whereas Escape from LA was also kind of more of a satire in the 80s action movies, this kind of works out almost like one of those, what are the disaster movies or Not Another Teen Movie, like that style spoof, where it's more just like we're doing these set pieces, but they have no coherency. They don't work really well as a movie. So, yeah, I still can't recommend it.
See,
like you had something to say about that?
Yeah.
Like, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I do. Where they dropped the ball on that was they cast Kurt Russell to play a serious role. Like, he played the serious role from the first movie.
Yeah.
They should have cast Bruce Campbell. And then you'd been like, oh, okay, this movie is like this. And that would have made it seem like this is a spoof satire, like Evil Dead. Like, you'd been like, all right, well, I know the world I'm in. It's not serious. It's whatever.
But that's instead, the other thing. This is where they were tipping. Most of the movie tipped more in the comical fashion, where, yes, Bruce Campbell probably would have pulled it off a lot better. But I also would have been perfectly fine with them having Kurt Russell and being a bit more realistic and less goofy and like overblown. But they're trying to do 90s action movies.
If you want Kurt Russell, you have Jack Barton Kurt Russell and not Snake Kurt Russell.
Right. And that's the thing for me. It's like you say maybe they said that's what their intent was. But at no point is that the feeling you get from the movie. Like, it feels like they want you to take this seriously.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of different pieces that I think were, like, ideas that they had, and they just kind of tossed them together, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I think if they were going for satire, they should have kind of gone almost bigger, kind of.
Well, yeah.
Like,
well, you got to wink at the audience at some point and let us know
at the very end.
Well, good satire.
Exactly. But
good satire, not everyone's supposed to get, but like.
Yeah, but this was just a sequel to an action movie where an action hero that is established is back and bigger and better than ever and just sucking his own dick for the whole
thing. Even Escape from New York was a satire on the 80s action movies. It was just done better. So it was a bit more subtle. Yeah. It was like most John Carpenter movies are, so it kind of worked out. But yet, most of the action we get in this, again, possibly because it's 90s and how overblown all that was, this is also so super overblown that, yeah, not only could we have just a direct wink to the camera, but he might as well have lifted that eye patch and winked that eye, because it was that kind of goofy and ridiculous. So it didn't have a good fit. It didn't flow. It didn't gel.
Regardless, all four of us agree it's not a good movie.
Yeah, I think we're all saying go watch Escape from LA or Escape from New York or just other play John Fallout.
Movies and play Fallout.
Although this isn't. You know what? Go on Netflix and watch the new season of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
You know what? If you want more satire, instead of playing Fallout, play Borderlands.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
You get your handsome Jack. You know,
that's what this movie should have been, pretty much.
Play Borderlands. Stop watching movies. Just go play a game.
Don't tell people what I do. Stop watching movies. That's the whole point of the podcast.
Well, listen to our podcast about movies.
As we recommend you listen to other episodes.
Just go pick a different episode.
Go listen to Big Trouble in Little China.
All right, it's Brian's role this week, isn't it?
No, it's Rob's role.
Rob, man, you got to get it.
It's D20 fake time, so like, let's get into our punishment.
Let me loosen up. Let me get the jazz hands. Throwing it.
No.
Rob is
gyrating.
He's
jiggling
even more than usual. Oh. He's. I guess he's loose.
Do you need to rub the black gift first?
No, he does not. No, he does not.
Like a genie.
I need to get Need to get my girlfriend matching Speedos.
All right, look, Rob's got to focus. Don't put images like that in his head.
It's too late right. now.
Don't fuck up. Don't fuck up.
Don't just.
Don't throw grenades. You know, in the
Rob, you
lot.
Just be yourself. You just be yourself. Right. Rob, and he'll appreciate whatever you Rob, whatever you do.
Don't put salt in your eyes.
Don't put marbles in your nose. In your nose. Marbles in your nose. Nose.
Marbles in your nose. In your.
Put salt in your eyes.
It's an 11.
Oh boy.
Middle of the road.
Fair to Midland.
All right. 11 is all.
Side of the table I can see is enjoying this already.
Yeah. How mad are we going to be over here?
Well, you get to see Bruce Campbell again.
Okay.
Uh-oh. It's 1995's Congo.
Oh, no.
God. At least it should be interesting.
It's a threefer.
Wait, is this going to be Bruce like 5 hours long or something? Like, yeah,
I think it might be. Ernie Hudson doing his African Amy impression. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait till Rob gets started on the gorilla.
It's not the gorilla so much as the gorilla's weird relationship with that dude.
Yep.
Touch me. Tickle Amy.
I forgot about that.
Not even joking.
Yeah.
It's so awful.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you for listening. We might be back next week.
Was my own kill this. That was my own.
We might just all hitch the next tsunami to
hang 10.
Yeah, hang ourselves.
Sit out on the sidewalk with our mouths open and wait for the acid rain.
Oh, gosh. So
take a hang glider, just crash it right into a wall.
Get shot through a torpedo tube.
Yeah.
Eject from a helicopter with no eject button.
I'll just go play basketball until people gun me down.
There you go. All right. Shouldn't take you very long.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was mean. I'm sorry. just so
funny. In fairness, I am a terrible basketball player. Range. Watching me play would get you mad.
Well, guys, thank you so very much. We get to watch a Michael Crichton movie next week. Not the one I would like, though. So join us for Congo. In the meantime, if you have any questions, comments, fun stories, please, please, we need support right now. Our hearts are full of sadness.
Someone wants to request a better movie.
Amy, sad gorilla. Sad. Amy, heart cry. Amy, diaper full. So you can email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. That's the4ampodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at 4ampodcast. Or is Instagram
the4ampodcast?
Okay, Instagram is the4ampodcast. So
we'll count it up there one day.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Is Amy wearing a diaper in the movie?
I don't remember. Okay. It could not matter. I'll be wearing a diaper
Amy
by
is
next week.
Full free and ready to throw her shit at a grandmother's nose.
Okay. In the meantime, thank you guys so very much for watching or listening or whatever you do. Peace out, Bean Sprouts.
Deuces.
Adios.
Good night, everybody.